If you're just looking for a good homily or sermon, then you're still depending on man. If you're just looking for the right choir or the right music or the right priest, you're still looking to man to fulfill this desire you have, rather than focusing your desire on Jesus. This is what I love about our Catholic faith. We are women encouraging and equipping women to universally and uniquely serve Christ in their feminine vocation.
By embracing joy, laughter, freedom, and friendship, we are seeking to thrive in the trenches of our domestic churches.
Welcome to Thriving in the Trenches podcast. This is Becky Carter.
And this is Megan Schreiber. And you are listening to episode number 12, Lead the Conversation. Today's continued discussion is on our previous podcast called Bored Again Catholic with guest Tim O'Malley. Today, Becky and I are the only voices that you will hear. We just wanted to address that due to the busy season that both Becky and I are currently in, we do not have guest callers, although we hope to bring that back in the future. I have a graduating senior, so we have a lot of ceremonial things. I've got some weddings and things like that. And Becky, too, is in a very busy season. I'm sure all of our listeners are. It's just that time of year.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, yeah, lots of traveling. So we thought, let's just hammer it out and hopefully we'll get some guests back on very soon.
Exactly, which is great. So, Becky, we had some interesting feedback to our latest podcast on the discussion of being bored at Mass. Tim O'Malley had a lot of great contributions in talking about this probably phenomenon that happens to everyone.
Oh, yeah. It still happens to me all the time. And I think, oh, wait. Okay, go deeper, Becky. This is my time. I'm going to try harder. Even after listening to his episode, I still find myself getting distracted. And with anything, any prayer, any disciplined action that I'm trying to work on, I'm always having to bring myself back. You know, I cannot even say a rosary without an audio. Did I just confess that live, right? Mm-hmm. Well, recorded. I can't. Like, that is just, I get so distracted, and then it takes me 5 hours to say one rosary because I lose my place. I don't know where I am, and then I've made a grocery list, and then I'm like, oh, I'm saying the rosary.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think that's a confession that needs to be made.
Well, it just tells you the state of mind that I'm in.
Yeah. No, I do the same thing. I have a couple, especially in the car, it helps me keep track a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I love the scriptural rosary because it helps me meditate on the scriptures. It helps in my meditation. It keeps me remembering which mystery I am on.
I think that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and you're right. It shouldn't be a confession. It's just maybe another option for our listeners who are struggling with the same thing.
That's right.
Yeah. But yeah, I love this episode, and listening to it again. Do you want to hear something funny?
Sure.
I actually forgot that I wasn't on that call.
Oh my gosh!
So I'm listening to it, and I remembered. Oh. I wasn't able to be there for that interview. I don't know. I got tickled at myself.
That is funny. That is so funny. And, you know, that's just a disclosure maybe we could make to our guest. I got to tell you, not only is Tim really brilliant in theology, he was incredibly gracious and patient. We were having some serious technical difficulties, and we really just got to the point where we realized one of us was just going to have to run with it. So he was just so gracious, and that's the only reason, you know, we ended up having to do it that way. Hopefully we won't have too many of those where we have technical difficulties that leaves one of us running with it on our own.
No. So. And I think we've overcome a lot of those things too, but sure. It was fine. It was great to listen. And of course you did a good job. You're a good interviewer, friend.
Thank you.
All right. So I will say one point that he brought into the conversation that I want to touch on first before we hit some of our listener conversations was about the Christianity in the West and how non-Catholic evangelical churches have really taken down the liturgy factor, and it has really increased the entertainment factor. And if we have any non-Catholic listeners, you know, this is not the I'm knocking on your church kind of deal, but it may even hopefully give you something to think about and how church, historically speaking, looking into the early church fathers, an early church father is one that was a prolific writer and teacher, you know, from the year 33 AD on to 300, 400 AD. So this is the early church. This is what has formed our tradition, all traditions in some manner. So even if you look into the Old Testament and what church is, I want to quote St. Alphonsus. Now, I don't believe this is an early church father. I think this is St. Alphonsus Liguria, doesn't? Mm-hmm. I'm in a book, The Mass and the Saints, by Thomas Crean. It's an Ignatius book. I'll link it in the show notes. But his quote says, "The sacrifice of the Mass, also known as church or worship, has been instituted for four ends: to honor God, to satisfy for our sins, to thank God for his benefits, and to obtain divine graces. It is the same sacrifice as that once offered on Calvary, with this difference that on Calvary, the blood of Jesus was really shed, but on the altar, it is shed only in a mystical, unbloody manner." I mean, if you think back in the Old Testament, it's the same thing. They had the church was, you go to the temple, you had Jewish priests, you had sacrifices and offerings, the forgiveness of sins, penances. This is what the Old Testament church looked like, which means the New Testament church is going to be formed in quite the same way, but in a perfect way, with the atonement that can perfectly cleanse us of our sins. So I bring that up because it is, we are so infiltrated in the West with non-liturgical worship, as they call it, or the focus being fellowship, the focus being singing and praising. You know, it's worship requires a sacrifice and an offering. And so that is what Tim is talking about in his book. And so I really wanted to hone that in with the scriptures and the evidence from the early church. So forgive me for going off on a tangent, but I really wanted to hit those points.
Oh, that's so good. I'm glad that you did. And that really shed a deeper look into what we're really talking about with the Mass. Everybody can get caught up at some point in that high energy celebration, but we really need to remember so much of what the sacrifice of the Mass is and how much of a participant we are in returning that love to God. But I really like that you touched on the area of sin, right? And I know when I want to bring my sin to the Lord, I'm not necessarily jumping up and down to do that. It's very solemn for me. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm definitely more uplifted afterwards, but not heading into that.
Right, right. But repentance.
Yes.
I can't think of any examples in the Bible that is going to show us repentance with jumping up and down. No, they were lamenting and they were lying prostrate on the ground. Mm-hmm. You know, really reverencing and themselves to the Lord.
Right.
And gratitude.
Mm-hmm. You know, what was a point that really helped me with Tim is that lens and that view of looking at boredom as an opportunity to build that deeper relationship with the Lord, as opposed to when I am bored, getting frustrated with myself and getting frustrated with the fact that either I am bored or I have a sense of dryness, and then have the ability to look at that as a really beautiful opportunity to grow and go deeper, mm-hmm. right? Because I think, because my temperament will tend to get a little frustrated with myself if I'm in that place. So that was real. That was just something that resonated with me personally. And I just really appreciated that he voiced that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I totally agree. It definitely resonated with me too. And, and it, there was so much of it that made me think of the marriage relationship. Because even when you're in a season of dryness as a husband and wife, where you feel like you're just walking through and taking care of business with the kids or jobs or whatever, you know, you do have to come back around, and that choice to love is a choice. It's an action. It's sometimes not what you feel, but it's definitely something you do.
Right. Right. That it's so true. This past week, a lot going on and talking to a counterpart on some issues and some obligations. And I know that they're struggling in their home a little bit, it just with balancing things, you know, nothing, just, you know, work and obligations with the kids and everything. And I said, right, our spouse is the only one in our home that we're sacramentally tied to. You know, as much as we love our children, there's not a sacrament for becoming a parent. There's a sacrament for that child in baptism, but there's not a parental sacrament. And it's interesting. He really was like, whoa. I was like, I know, right? Just that moment that we really have to realize how, what a treasure our spouse is, and how much attention and dedication we're all called to in marriage to give to that sacrament. It's very easy to lose sight of that. Very, very easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when we have a lot going on or we're bored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Boy, how many marriages break up because they're bored?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, gosh, that was a very flippant thing to say. Nothing is that simple, but we're just in an age. Well, let me read one more thing from St. John Chrysostom. Now he did live. He is an early church father. He was in the 400s. Actually, he died in 407, so he was definitely on that early church side. He says, "For a church is not a barber shop or a chemist or a market stall. It is the dwelling of angels and archangels. It is the kingdom of God. It is heaven itself. If someone gave you entrance into heaven, you would not dare to speak a word. Not even if you should see your own brother or father. Likewise, in the church, only spiritual things may be spoken, for this is heaven."
Hmm.
Yeah.
Boy, you're just pulling them out left and right.
I know. Well, and it's convicting. I mean, I think about all the conversations I have in the sanctuary.
Sure.
You know, random, what are you doing this weekend? And I try to get out of the sanctuary, but it's just not always easy. And of course, you know, my kids running around, I'm snapping and trying not to yell across the sanctuary. But there are some churches where the priest is super, super strict about that, and people leave the sanctuary, and I really appreciate that. And then there are some churches where you don't act that way, and we forget the reverence for Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. Lord, Savior.
Yeah. Gosh, so, what are those checkpoints for you? Do you have any that remind you in that moment?
When I'm standing in the sanctuary,
yeah.
and people are talking all around me, mm-hmm. I don't know. It just kind of, I mean, definitely I look up, I see the crucifix, I see Jesus, I see the tabernacle. And for me, the tabernacle with the little red light, the candle glowing, letting us know that his presence is there. Right. We don't have a beautiful, ornate old church in our parish. And so it is more difficult to be reminded of that. But I tell you what, when we were in New Orleans and we went to the cathedral, so this is in the middle of New Orleans, the Jackson Square, there's hubbub going on, entertainers all around, the artists, the horses, and you walk in those doors and immediately the silence and the peace and the presence of Jesus Christ will just envelop you. And it just amazes me how, and of course, it's beautiful. It's ornate. You look around and you see the heavens. And that's why art is so important in that's our churches, right, to have that visual reminder of where we are. Because we're fallen creatures, we can't always see that. We forget because we get distracted by a grocery list. But the visual reminders aren't idols. They are designed to bring, elevate our hearts and our minds back to the reality of where we are.
That's great. I know that feeling. I know exactly what you're talking about. So which is also why I believe I love empty churches. I love churches at night. Yes. Those quiet moments of truly feeling the presence of Jesus. And it's interesting as you say that, and I'm thinking about some churches that I've been in or some parishes that I've belonged to where the actual physical building of the church is not quite as spectacular as a cathedral or a basilica, but the tabernacle always is. Even if it's small, it's so beautiful. Yeah. And so for me right now, I'm thinking that element of beauty is so critical at times to just refocus me. And especially today with the world being so troubled, you know, it's very easy to sometimes lose sight of the beauty in things. I mean, we know that, but when you're overwhelmed with certain things that you've read or you're concerned about with your children, it can get overwhelming. And to focus on beauty and to focus on the beauty of the actual tabernacle too draws you into him even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. And it's such a gift. It's such a gift that I feel like I squandered for so long.
But you're here.
I know. I'm so thankful. So thankful. Hey, will you grab one of our listener comments?
So one of the comments came in from Angry Catholic Mom, and she says, quote, "I love the idea of looking inward at yourself before looking down at the Mass, because your feelings are telling you that you aren't entertained enough. It's called the sacrifice of the Mass for a reason. It's comforting to know that the Mass is there for me when I don't, quote, feel like it during the dry or stormy seasons. I get to experience and receive Christ no matter the readings, music, or homily, and despite whatever is going on in my life. If people looked into the Eucharist a bit more, I would think they would find much comfort in such a service. Look beyond yourself, your judgments of the priest, the music, other families, and veil your heart. It takes time and discipline, but those two things are required to grow in holiness," end quote. That's a lot in there.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the honesty and the candor, which is what I think our listenership is so great at. And it is true. You know, Becky, you spoke about being away from it. You know, there's been those of us who've never been away from it and still lacked a deep appreciation of what the Eucharist means and what the Eucharist is. And so I think that's a journey constantly.
Right? Yeah. And he said that, Tim says, you know, it's a journey. And like, and going back to your point, don't get frustrated with yourself. It's a journey. I really appreciated that. It kind of takes that judgmental pressure off of myself.
Mm-hmm. What one thing that trips me up, and I think our listeners are going to be like, gosh, she really is a head case. when have you ever been traveling and you go to a different church? Of course, right? For some reason, I have this ability to enter into the Mass in such a deep way in a new place. And I wonder if some of that is not knowing anybody, not knowing the priest, like not having concerns or expectations about the home parish. And not that I have concerns about my home parish, but sometimes we just get tripped up like, oh my gosh, they're the Smiths. I was supposed to email her. I can't believe I forgot to email her. You know, I better make sure I catch her afterwards to apologize. Or I don't know. There's those levels of personal engagement that sometimes really trip me up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when I'm in a new place, there's like this total freedom that I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to. And when there's that freedom, you just melt into the mass, you know? Mm-hmm.
So
that's something else I really need to train my heart and my mind for is as I'm going on a regular basis into our own parish. Just to, you know, it's almost like the horse when they have their blinders up on the side, you know, really just being focused and not letting kind of the peripheral things enter in to form a level of distraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to get you some horse blinders.
I'm sure I would look great.
I'm sure it would be very fashionable. Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Jenna, over at Angry Catholic Mom. We appreciate that. And we do pray that people look into the Eucharist a little bit more and go deeper in love with Jesus in the body. Okay. So Carrie from Cheers and Screams, of course, she loves the Flannery reference. If you know Carrie at all, she is all about some Flannery O'Connor. She says, but so much more takeaway. The Mass as practicing, quote, the slow art of commitment, end quote, and the Mass as a relationship with all the ups and downs. I had a wonderful friend who countered my complaints about not, quote unquote, feeling the Mass at one point with a blunt, so? And I lifted an eyebrow. I often think of that so wisdom whenever I get bogged down in my feelings about something vital like prayer time or Mass that might appear rote and mundane. It's a quick gut check. Mm. And it allows me to refocus.
That's great.
Yeah. I can see you telling me so.
Well, I hope you would say that to me too.
Yeah, I kind of would.
Right. Yeah, because we need that, right?
Yes.
And then, yes, it's you hear that and you're like, yeah, what's the big deal? What am I getting hung up on?
Right, right. Definitely. And that's exactly, I responded to her and I said, we all need that friend.
Absolutely.
To say, a so friend.
Yes. Can we label friends as a so friend? Sounds like a new trend.
Yeah. Maybe it's a polarizing friend.
Yes. Pointing in the one direction towards the Lord. Well, I have one more. Do we want to talk about that a little bit more? Or?
I mean, we can. I mean, I just think she's very succinct in what she's trying to say. It's just,
right.
What? Your feelings, your emotions, they are valid, yet they should not keep you from continuing to do those things. And I know at one point when I was reading some of these comments and thinking about a lot of what the early church fathers thought or how they taught on the Mass, and I just think when I'm in that moment and I'm sitting in the pew and I'm not feeling it, or I'm saying my prayers and I'm not feeling it, I just want to say, Jesus, I trust in you. I trust in you that you're going to take what I have and it's good enough for you. Even though I don't feel like it.
It's great. And he knows that.
He does.
Yes, which is great. Mm-hmm. So we have one more comment that came in from Vanessa Pro-Life. And Vanessa says, quote, great episode. Some things I think we need to talk more about are the disciplines of the Mass. Fasting before partaking in the Eucharist, sticking to the rubrics, etc. Things that help us be more in tune with what is really happening in the Mass. For me, it keeps me aware and focused since it's so easy to wonder what I'm making for lunch or dinner while the Mass is happening. An example on fasting before communion is that I'm already preparing myself for the ultimate worship before even leaving my house, end quote. I love that.
Yeah.
I can remember being a young girl and saying to my mom, oh, can I have a piece of that, you know, Danish? And it was, oh, no, we're fasting. And it was like, yeah, we are. That reminder, even at a young age, was saying to me, this is a big deal. This is a really big deal. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that has gotten so lost. And every now and then I'll see things that I'm thinking, oh, are we really watching that? And even if we are watching it and honoring that, to really say that, though, just as a reminder to connect with why we are doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, definitely. And she even goes on to say that it would also be a great idea. And I've had priests tell me this, that a good way to prepare, especially with our children, is to read the readings and the explanations of the reading, like a Scott Hahn explanation. He sends out daily emails, weekly emails talking about this Sunday's scripture readings, and he expounds on them a little bit. And doing that with your children, your family, your spouse, yourself, whomever, preparing your heart, already having heard the scriptures and having an understanding of what feast are we just celebrated the Ascension, you know, understanding what it is that we are celebrating on that Sunday. It really helps you enter into what we are worshiping, who we are worshiping, I guess I should say, and what manner and what special feast are we honoring in that day. It really helps us get into the life of Christ.
Absolutely. And it doesn't take long. And what I've seen with our children, and I'll be honest, we've ebbed and flowed with that. But when we are consistently doing that, even the younger ones, or my 11-year-old, 13-year-old, will, when the reading starts, they kind of look at me like, I got this one. Mm-hmm. Remember, we really talked about it. You know, mm-hmm. You just see that, you see their engagement is somehow, it has just the, you know, some parents might think, well, if they read it before, then they maybe won't be paying attention at Mass when it's read a second time. And actually, it's just the opposite. Because now, when we have read the gospel beforehand, there's a discussion about it. And we've all discussed it, and they've contributed to that conversation. So now they're actually more in tune as to mm-hmm. what's going on. Because then all of a sudden now the priest homily is going to be about that. Now they're curious. We just talked about this. My mom thought this. My dad thought that. My brother thought this. My sister thought that. What's the mm-hmm. priest going to contribute?
Yeah.
And usually it's something pretty different, or just, you know, another richness added to it.
Right. And if you have children who are ready to really dig in deeper, if you're reading the Old Testament reading, you read the Psalm, you read the New Testament reading, and then the gospel. And you can see how the church in her liturgical beauty has combined all the readings together. You've got the prefigurement, the Old Testament, and then you've got the, what's the word I'm looking for? The fulfillment. That's mm-hmm. the word. You have the fulfillment in the New Testament and the gospel, and then you even have the Psalms. And it's all combined together because it's telling one story. Right. And I love that.
That is a
beautiful genius of the liturgical readings.
Right. You know, as you're saying that, this is running through my head. I wonder, too, if some of the boredom that we experience comes from either forgetting parts of the Mass and what their meanings are.
Mm-hmm.
It probably does. And I'm sitting here staring at an Ascension Press DVD series called Alteration. Do you have that?
I don't. I've not heard of it.
Oh, man, that's a great one. Another plug for Ascension Press, but boy, do they put some great things out. And that is really a good thing, I think, to refresh everyone on. You know, it's almost like pulling it out once a year, every other year, to really go, oh my gosh, yes, that's why we do what we do. Because I think mm-hmm. we can get into that. I mean, it's really like anything, you know, even with maybe exercising and understanding the real physiology of something, and then you're just doing it, and then it kind of, maybe you lose focus on it. But then when you really, really understand why you were doing that and in what order, then it like opens up the magnitude of what it is. So that's maybe something we can put in the show notes. It's really good.
Sure.
It's really great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We can do that. And we need to do that. Because the more I've learned, we led, facilitated. We have a Sunday morning class at our parish. And trying to think of what was the name of the book. I want to say it was Edward Tree. I'll look it up and I'll put it in the show notes. And we did that.
Great.
On a Sunday morning to be able to dig in deeper. And it was great. Some of the people's responses is, oh, okay. So ever since I learned this, when I go into Mass, I go, oh,
right.
That's what's happening there.
Right.
You know, or people have decided to take both specimens, the body and the blood, because they understand the full significance of it. And they feel like they're going deeper into relationship with Christ. They feel like they're receiving his body, blood, soul, and divinity. All of a sudden, it's not just this piece of bread, this wafer. It's like understanding the blood part of it.
Right.
And we could talk about that forever.
Oh.
The fact that we drink his blood and the Old Testament and the Jewish traditions and, oh, wowzer.
Right.
We won't do that today. Let's not do that.
That's a whole nother show.
It is. But I do want to talk, I do want to touch on one thing I hear. I definitely heard a lot in my evangelical time period of going to church. And I've heard a lot of Catholics say also on why they left the church was that I'm not being fed. I wasn't getting fed there. Well, we are feeding on the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. We are consuming him. We are becoming one with him as we are one with our spouse. You cannot feed on Jesus Christ any more than at a Catholic Mass on this side of the veil of heaven. And if you're just looking for a good homily or sermon, then you're still depending on man. If you're just looking for the right choir or the right music or the right priest, you're still looking to man to fulfill this desire you have rather than focusing your desire on Jesus. This is what I love about our Catholic faith. We are not worshiping a piece of bread. We are worshiping Jesus Christ. He is the head. He is the focus. He is why we go to church. Sorry.
Amen. No, that's so true. I mean, there's irony in it, surely, to use that verbiage. I'm not being fed. I guess the question becomes, what are you looking to eat?
Right.
Is it, what are you looking to consume? The music? The charismatic priest or deacon, what is it about? If you are looking to consume Jesus Christ, there is one answer.
The Mass. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And there is a great talk by Steve Ray, and it's called I'm Not Being Fed. And I'll link it in the show notes. It's a Lighthouse Catholic CD. So we'll link that. It's a great listen.
It's great. Because I hear Catholics say that too. Catholics that jump from parish to parish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, which is why, yes, all those other things do matter, or they wouldn't be part of the Mass.
Sure.
But when you're struggling with something that's going on in your parish, rather than causing separation or dissension or stirring up more things in your parish, focus on the Eucharist. Focus on your relationship with Jesus. Focus on growing in holiness. It's between you and Jesus in these moments. And we've just got to stop dividing over some things. Fight for what you got to fight for, but stop dividing over the other parts.
That's right. Well, Becky, I love our listeners. I love when they send in comments and offer other points of view for us to think about and talk about. So we thank all of you for listening. You guys are great, and keep the comments coming.
Yeah. Thanks, guys, for joining us this week. We are so grateful for all of you thriving in the trenches with us. You can find show notes on thrivinginthetrenches.com. Please subscribe, leave us a review on iTunes, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Where you can join the conversation. Thanks for coming.